Hi, it's Dave. Welcome. It's episode 257, and welcome to a live stream here. We've got an exciting and very tumultuous, interesting week we have here for Tesla stock. We're going to go through kind of what's going on with Tesla stock, its ups and downs, and try to make sense of what's going on. Also, we've got a pretty cool week going on here. Tomorrow, I'm releasing an episode with James Dauma on Tesla full self-driving, but it's going to be two parts. The first part is going to be Friday, and the next part is going to be Saturday. And then the following on Sunday, I'm going to release a talk that I'll record on Saturday night with Emmett Peppers. And I'm sure we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, especially with the markets kind of going through kind of a correction, and also Tesla going through some downturn as well. And so we're going to kind of sort out those things with Emmett and kind of share our thoughts as well. And so we've got some exciting things going on here. All right, so in this live stream, I want to talk about more specifically what's going on with Tesla stock. We've seen it go from 800 in the beginning of the week to almost 600 and now up to 700, and it's just kind of fluctuating wildly. I'm going to share toward the end some of my bigger picture thoughts on how I handle kind of the volatility with stocks like Tesla. What my emotions, how I handle that, and how I kind of try to hack my thinking through long-term perspective. And then we're going to dive into some of the latest reasons why the stock might be reacting. So Tesla supposedly has shut down the factory for a couple of days. They're limiting Model 3 production a bit for the next couple of weeks. We're going to dive into some of those news and why that's happening, and dive into a little bit of the global chip shortage, as well as the hardware 3 chip shortage as well. So anyways, welcome to the live stream. Join in with the comments, and it's great to have you guys here. All right, so let's go ahead and we'll dive right into some of the stuff that's happening right now. So here we have Tesla stock price over the last 3 months here. And if you notice, we topped out at about $900 at the all-time high. And this past week, we went down to 612 or so. And now we're hovering around 680. A lot of these swings are big swings here, like down, you know, almost to be 100 points up and down in a day. And so we've had one of the most volatile weeks in recent Tesla history. Now, there's a couple things you can do here. First, if you go to the 5-day view here, right, you have this massive drop that just happened on Tuesday, and then it kind of recovered, and then you had the stock dropping again. But if you go on a further view, here's a year view. The year view, you see Tesla just continuing to go up. It's holding the 100-day moving average, this middle line here. It broke through the 50-day moving average, which is actually a pretty important moving indicator here. And then if you go to the 2-year, here you see Tesla just, you know, going up. And then to give you guys some perspective, here's the 5-year. Right, the 5-year Tesla was hovering around, let's say, 40 or 50 bucks, and then you have a big spike up to 900 bucks, and we're here at $680. All right, so let's talk about a bit about what's going on here. So Bloomberg came out with an article this morning, and they're saying that Tesla told its workers it'll temporarily halt some production at its Fremont factory for about 2 weeks. And so staff on the Model 3 production line in Fremont were told their line would be down from February 22nd to March 7th. And the workers said that they would be paid for the 22nd and 23rd, but not paid for February 28th, March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so here's what's going on here. So yesterday, actually, Sawyer Merritt on Twitter, he kind of shared that he had news that Fremont had been shut down for the past couple of days. And he went on to share how that they were having some chip shortages. And then here we have David Zhao, a Tesla investor. He also kind of commented that, should I have his tweets here? He commented that he actually saw of the Fremont kind of free parking lot. And he was saying actually that there were actually more cars than the day before. So the day before, actually, there were actually not many cars in the production parking lot. Here's another Twitter follower, Mile Me Battery, says, or Twitter profile says, he can confirm that the Model Y lines are unaffected. So the majority of volume missed from Fremont Model 3 lines will be replaced by inventory from China. So 11,000 at the end of Q4, hence the increase in boats this quarter. So yeah, so it seems like, you know, we'll have Model 3 not shipping to Europe, probably just having Model 3 shipping from China to Europe, and we'll keep the Model 3 production just for the US and Canada. All right, so moving on here, Elon Musk was saying, someone was asking, Dreams of Mars 2049 says, any news on Fremont shutdown? And Elon, this was just less than an hour ago, so 50 minutes ago, Elon said, Fremont shut down for 2 days, part shortages, and restarted yesterday. So Elon is trying to give perspective here. So 2 days, they did shut down production because of parts, and they restarted production yesterday, but it's unclear if it's going to be limited production, if Model 3 is going to be limited, but it seems like Model Y isn't affected. So we'll see what this means by going into some articles. All right, so let's go back to this article back in April of 23rd of 2019. And here Elon Musk says, you know, Tesla has switched over their self-driving chips from NVIDIA to Samsung. So Samsung is manufacturing the Hardware 3 chips in Austin, Texas. So here's the problem with Austin, Texas. The Samsung factory has been shut down since last Tuesday. So it's almost 2 weeks. And I, from the what I've read, they haven't reached full production back yet. So it's probably about 2 weeks of shutdown that we're seeing at the Samsung Austin factory. And that's where Tesla is making, or Samsung is making, the Hardware 3 chips. And so that is part of the short or the part shortage that Tesla is dealing with right now. I want to talk about a little bit about this part or this chip shortage globally, because I think this there's some context to what's going on here. Tesla might not be completely affected directly by this, or they might be slightly affected, but I think it's a good backdrop to understand. So there's a global chip shortage that's going on. And according to here, it says people are stocking up, right, on personal computers, electronics, et cetera. And it's affecting autos as well. Like the car sales are spiking as well, going back to pre-COVID. And because of this, a lot of the auto manufacturers are having to halt production because they don't have enough chips. So here it says the first wave of people were buying PCs, monitors, and gear. And then later this fall, they were buying gadgets like game consoles, TV, smartphone, and tablets. And then because of a lot of these semiconductor companies are fabless, meaning they only design the chips and they don't, you know, make them themselves, there are these foundries. And these foundries like TSMC in Taiwan or Samsung in South Korea, they're already making chips as fast as they can. And so what happened was this, is during the COVID shutdown or pandemic, the auto companies cut down their production targets. And they told these, you know, foundries to lower their production needs. However, when auto demand started to peak again, they put back their orders, but they're not able to meet the orders immediately because it takes a while for production to get back up and running. And they have all these other, you know, industries and companies vying for demand to make chips. And so this type of stuff is going on globally. And there's a lot of stuff in cars right now that require a lot of chips. And so you have everything from, you know, microcontrollers like power steering, infotainment, you know, automatic braking, all sorts of stuff in the cars. All right. So here's one thing. I think Tesla can be less affected because they didn't scale back their projections because of COVID. They're one of the few auto manufacturers that were continuing to push the envelope on how much they could produce. So it seems like Tesla's probably not affected as much as these other automakers. All right, here's another article. It says that there's a 26-week lead time that's needed to build the chips before they're installed in a vehicle. And that's kind of what's going on here. The origin of the shortage dates to early last year when COVID caused rolling shutdowns of vehicle assembly plants. As the facilities closed, the wafer and chip supplies diverted the parts to other sectors such as consumer electronics, which weren't expected to be hurt by stay-at-home orders. So anyways, yeah, fast forward, if you add 26 weeks to when they made those decisions, the drop-off or the trough of in the supply started to hit automotive the later half of last year going into Q1. But demand was better than expected, and so it's starting to spike, but they don't have the chips. And so it's going to take a couple more quarters probably to get the chips going. All right, so here's interesting. another article says they can't really imagine anyone getting spared from this situation. But one of the outliers is actually Toyota Motors. I think it's amazing. Toyota Motors is one of the companies which they have a four-month stockpile of chips. And so they're one of the only automakers that are really truly prepared for a global chip slowdown or shortage. Here we have an article. Biden is starting to step in, and he signed an executive order to kind of review the supply chains of critical products and see their vulnerability to the global chip shortage. Another article from Financial Times says it's events like these. So the U.S. manufacturing base is reliant on TSMC, the world's largest chip foundry and a supplier to companies ranging from Apple to Volkswagen. It's events like these that expose the shared risk that companies have. It's when we have a big disruption, then we find out, holy cow, we've got all these eggs in this basket. So the point being is there aren't that many chip foundries or companies that actually make the chips. We're really dependent on, you know, a handful of big companies that make these chips, and they're so critical to so many products in so many ways. And the automobile industry is a key example. Here's another article from Detroit Free Press, and it says, the current chip shortage is only further squeezing the supply of new cars across the country. As a result, we're seeing the beginning signs of what happened to the market at the end of last summer. Now, new vehicle discounts are drying up as used prices are starting to climb. So it's another interesting thing. We have, you know, demand for new cars and used cars being robust. People just are wanting to buy cars. It's people definitely have has rebounded. All right, so what's going on here? So a few things here is we have a situation where you have a context of a global chip shortage due to kind of the pandemic, which did this weird thing where it cut initially the auto kind of demand, but it increased demand for other electronics. And so there was a chip shortage, and then the automobile started to put back their orders as demand spiked, but now they're having to wait in line to get the chips that they need. In that bigger context, you have what happened in Austin. So the Samsung foundry or factory in Austin is producing hardware 3 chips for Tesla. And due to the cold weather in Austin and the storm that just hit us, and I'm in the city, and it just completely shut life down in Austin for probably a week and a half or so. But the Samsung factory is still getting up and running. So I'm expecting about 2 weeks of hardware 3 shortage. And so the challenging thing about, or part of the challenging thing, is that Tesla's business is highly dependent on the supply chain. They have hundreds, of suppliers, and all these parts are coming in, and they're needing to come in at the right time with the right number of parts. And if they don't have the parts, then they can't deliver the cars. And so Tesla is vulnerable in the short term to certain kind of catastrophic or big events that happen where certain suppliers, their production is cut off and they can't find another supplier that quickly. And in those situations, the entire production line at Fremont or even other factories is halted. Now, having multiple factories on multiple continents can help. Also, having multiple supply chains can help. And this is where kind of the Tesla is growing more mature and growing stronger over the years, because over the past year or two, Tesla has been able to develop an entirely new supply chain in China. Initially, when they opened up the Shanghai factory, their supply chain was highly dependent on their current supply chain in the U.S. For Fremont. But as they localized kind of Shanghai production, they were able to localize the supply chain more, reduce costs, but also it reduces kind of this risk, this catastrophic production risk, where if one factory shuts down or one supplier shuts down, they have multiple suppliers they can rely on. So it's possible that, in a lot of ways, Tesla is in good shape, because even with certain shortages of parts, they have another supply chain they can rely on. Now, by adding Berlin, they can actually add another supply chain in Europe as well, at least with critical parts. And so they can have multiple points of possible failure that can back up each other. Now, a couple other things is, when we look at this problem long-term, let's say a year or even 5 or 10 years out, it's probably not going to mean that much that Tesla had a short-term, kind of part shortage, whatever that part shortage might be. It's really, in the bigger picture, I think a bigger constraint is actually the batteries. Like, if Tesla is not able to secure enough batteries long-term at the right cost, now this is going to be a much bigger problem. And so I think that's why Elon and the Tesla team is focused on batteries. They're focused on securing, you know, the right materials. They're focused on pushing the envelope with technologies. They're focused on manufacturing. And this is their big focus. And I think it's easy to lose sight and to say, oh my gosh, right? We have this part shortage, you know, and let's say production is limited in Fremont for the Model 3 or whatever. And we make it a huge deal. But in the bigger picture, what's a bigger deal is the Tesla's long-term focus of making the right strategic moves to ensure that battery availability at the right cost will be there next year, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, and they'll be able to meet their goals of, you know, a sub $25,000 car that's truly, you know, affordable to the masses, and they can deliver on their promises with full autonomy. Now, here's a couple other articles here that's kind of not completely related to Tesla part shortage, but Tesla Giga Berlin, according to Tasmanian, will start test production in May and may start full production in July and August. And this is unconfirmed rumors. So it's just something that, you know, some railway got word of, that, and Tesla's one of their customers. So yeah, I would imagine, though, you know, we're gonna see Tesla Berlin wrap up production in the next, or wrap up construction in the next few months. And they're gonna start production. And what I'm most excited about is like how they're going to start producing the 4680 cells, you know, how quickly they can ramp production that. And the focus of the initial Giga Berlin will be the Model Y. I think there's a huge demand for that. Here's a story from the Nikkei Asia about Samsung having to force or halt their Texas chip operations where the Hardware 3 is located. We've got some interesting things going on. I want to share a few last things here. And one of the things is how I, as a investor, handle volatility and what my thought process is. And when I'm seeing this past week, Tesla, let's say, fluctuate very, you know, violently down and then up and then all over the place, it's natural for me to react and to say, oh my gosh, right? And to look at the loss or the gain, right, as the stock goes up and down. However, I kind of have this, my natural kind of reaction is to try to take a step back and to look at my current situation from a more long-term perspective. So I say, okay, 5 or 10 years from now, what's going on? Like, what's my goal, or where do I want to be 5 or 10 years from now? And do I need to make certain decisions right now at this point? How does that help me to make certain decisions in my investment kind of approach right now? And that's helped me a lot over the years, and it's helped me a lot actually this week. I remember when the stock dropped a lot this week, I think it was probably Monday or Tuesday or so. I remember going to bed thinking, okay, what is kind of the long-term bull case or thing that I'm really counting on Tesla as a Tesla investor? Now, this isn't any financial advice or investing advice. This is just my own kind of, you know, take on things. But I need to hold on to something that I'm like, hey, you know, this is what I'm betting my kind of investment thesis on. So I was thinking, okay, if Tesla can deliver, let's say, 5 million cars, let's say in 5 year time period or so, and if they can actually make full self-driving work, which I believe they can, and they can accrue somehow a $10,000 profit per vehicle. Now, this could be conservative based upon how much value a car can give with full self-driving, but it also can be somewhat, you know, aggressive because that's a pretty high net profit margin. Let's say $10,000 off of a $25,000 or $30,000 car. But regardless, let's say conservative, I won't say conservative, but let's say they could somehow make it work, a $10,000 net profit off of, you know, 5 million cars, let's say in 5 years or so. I started to go to sleep with that thought this past week. And just every time I would kind of wrestle in bed, I would go back to that thought, you know, 5 million cars, $10,000 net profit. And if you think about what that means, right? So 5 million cars at $1,000 net profit would be $5 billion of net profit. And then if you do 10,000 net profit per car, that's $50 billion in net profit. And if you think about $50 billion in net profit, that's pretty crazy, right? The same 5 years. And what multiple would the market give off of a company that could do $50 billion in net profit, but would be growing very fast still, right? Let's say they're on their road to 20 million vehicles by the year 2030. You would probably give them at least a 40 or 50, let's say a 50 multiple or so. And if they got a 50 multiple off of $50 billion, that would be a $2.5 trillion market cap. Now, obviously, this is up for debate. I'm not going to say this is guaranteed by any means. Like none of this stuff is guaranteed in investing, right? And that's the risk of investing. It's all about one own's personal take and conviction and angle with investing. And there could be times where everyone is wrong about a stock too, you know? And I'm not going to predict a price or a market cap valuation and tell people to buy or to sell or whatever. That's up to everyone's own personal situation. It's just that in my view, or when I wrestle through this week, I'm looking for more of a long-term idea to hold on to. What do I know about the market or about Tesla's trajectory and future that other people don't? Tomorrow, I'm releasing a video, and the next day with James Dalma. One of the reasons I'm having James Dalma on my channel very often is this month is because I think full self-driving is something that is going to be crucial to understanding Tesla. And without understanding full self-driving, the technology behind it and its competitors and what it means to Tesla long-term, I don't think you can really understand Tesla. I think in a lot of ways, the 2020s, this decade of Tesla is going to be the decade of autonomy, of full self-driving. I think if the 2010s for Tesla was kind of ramping full production of the Model 3, let's say Model Y. So they're becoming a real car company. I think the 2020s is Tesla moving from just being a so-called car company and now moving into this completely different industry, which is full self-driving. And if you think about the magnitude of change of moving from a static kind of dumb car, like think how dumb a car is in the sense of it can only do what you input it to do, right? And it's just a hunk of metal with a bunch of mechanical parts and, you know, it's very limited in its application and its usage, yet it gives us a decent amount of value because it takes us places with transportation, but it's very reliant on us. Now, if you contrast this to the coming smart car revolution, so this is the change that we're in the middle of, or the very beginning of this transition, where the car is starting to move to a device that is actually very smart, and is actually could be smarter than us driving, meaning it could be safer than us driving. Now, when that happens, the car becomes a valuable asset, so much more valuable than a dumb car, which is reliant on you to input all the driving. Now the car can take on that responsibility of driving, freeing you up to do a multitude of various things, and it opens up a ton of different applications for cars and transport altogether. And it's going to be probably one of the biggest transformations in our society, the move to autonomous driving. And I think what Tesla is, and this is how I look at it, as an investor in Tesla, the next decade is really investing into autonomous driving and what that future holds. And so anyways, I got two episodes coming up. I think it's going to be awesome. I learned a ton from James Dalma. I want to encourage you guys to do that. So anyways, just wanted to thank you guys for being part of this whole thing. And I know it's been, you know, a tumultuous week, and I have no personal things of like, you know, hey, buy or sell or whatever. It's more of how I'm processing the moment, you know, how I'm going through, you know, the information. Like, for example, I go through the news, I read through the news, I go, okay, there are some risks here. I need to weigh the, you know, both sides, short-term, long-term, et cetera. I also have to weigh, you know, valuation for Tesla, but also the long-term prospects of the company. And otherwise, you know, for me, I look at the brighter side of life, right? I mean, it's about relationships, you know, it's about people you care about. It's about, you know, being in the right place yourself and in the place where you can, you know, find gratitude and find appreciation in anything, in everything that you do. So anyways, hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.